We have a great God, amen? Amen. We live in a world where people don't know what they're looking for. And yet our God is the answer to all those needs. And it is our responsibility to exalt Him. And it is our responsibility to proclaim to this world, hey, you know what? I got the answer. And He's right here. And it's not a religion. It's my God. It's knowing Him. It's walking with Him. And man, what a wonderful God we have. Amen? Well, we're just excited to be here again. We just want to say thank you to this church for your faithfulness through the years. We have been supported by Northern Kentucky for more than 10 years now. We went to Uganda in 2004. And it's hard to believe that this year we're coming in September. It'll be 15 years since we first went. And so we're just thankful for your faithfulness through the years, for your giving and for your prayers. And we're just excited what God's going to do in the future. When we first went to Uganda, we went there in 2004, as I said. We were there for almost 5 years in a town called Mbale. There in Mbale, we worked with some other missionaries who had been there for a while. They had started that church. And the main purpose of that was to work with them in order to focus on learning the language and then just learn how things are done in Africa. And so we did that for 4.5 years. And then 2009, God put a burden on my heart that it was time to leave. And He directed us to the town of Iganga. And there in Iganga, God has done a great work. And we've seen Lighthouse Baptist Church has been established. And God has given me an assistant pastor who's doing a great job, a national. And Lord willing, when we return, we can hand that church over to Him. And the focus that I'm seeing God directing us into is focusing on not starting another church personally ourselves, but instead to train these nationals, to train these men, to start these churches themselves so that from the get-go, they are the pastors. They're the ones who are doing the work from the beginning. And we're seeing other missionaries going with this direction, and they are seeing a number of churches getting started. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you, show you the video, and that will give you then the story of what God has done in the last 4 years there in Iganga, Uganda.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The command was clear and simple. Go and preach the gospel to all peoples. Baptize those who believe. Disciple them in all things that our Lord commanded us to believe and to do. For most, Africa is a place for excitement and adventure. Tourism in Uganda continues growing as more and more people flock to see the great variety of wildlife and natural beauty. They take the challenge to try to get a good deal in the markets or travel on a local taxi. Even our kids have their own ideas about Africa.
I like fishing. I like playing with our dogs. I like climbing trees. I like frogs.
I like my friend Gray.
Me like swimming.
However, this country, which is only about the size of Oregon, is more than an adventurer's paradise. It's home to nearly 33 million people who don't know Christ. Most people are not looking for God, but for a job, medical assistance, or a ticket to America. Many will even come to church looking for these things. Though it's a natural and good desire for people to improve their livelihood, this desire for a better physical life blinds them to their spiritual needs. However, God is at work in Uganda, and He has given us His plan for the work. Our Lord said that when His plan is obeyed, the very gates of hell can be broken and the prisoners can be set free. In Uganda, we are slowly seeing His plan work.
And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
After over 4 years in the town of Mbali, God directed us to move to Iganga. Iganga is a town of about 50,000 people and has many religions, from Catholicism to cults to animistic practices. But one of the greater causes of confusion among these people has come from the many charismatic churches. People are attracted by entertainment, tongues, and miracles, but not by a hunger for the Bible. Excitement about Jesus abounds, but it is very much a zeal without knowledge. Iganga also has one of the largest Islamic populations in all of Uganda. On the 25-mile drive from Iganga to Jinja, we have counted at least 10 mosques that are right on the main highway. There are also about 10 mosques that are within a 20-minute walk from our house. Islam is very strong and continues to spread throughout this region and all Uganda. These people need the truth.
It is in the midst of this confusion that Lighthouse Baptist Church was planted. In November 2009, we started meeting in our living room. Slowly, God started bringing people like this young man, Joffrey, and this older lady, Edissa, and our church began to grow. After about 4 months, we started renting a room at a nearby school. At this time, Abu, a former Muslim, trusted Christ and slowly became faithful to the Lord. We met in that school for 1 year, and then we moved back to our house. This time, we set up shop on our front porch. We built a shelter on our front porch and then eventually used a tarp for extra seating on Sunday mornings. As God continued to work, He brought us people like Ochen and Ibra. Many of their friends visited the church because of the great testimony that these men had. Finally, in the end of 2011, God gave us our own land for the church. And then in January 2012, we built our building. The church paid for the timber, your giving paid for the roof, and these men volunteered to put it up. We thank God that just before we left for furlough, this building was mostly full. One of our newest members, Andrew, told me that after 23 years as a Catholic, and then 22 years as a charismatic, he learned nothing. But after only 6 months in our church, he not only received the gospel, but he has learned so much of the Bible. We praise God for what He has done and will do in the future through this church.
Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Our first baptism service was a challenge. We looked around Iganga town to find any place we could immerse believers and finally found a small stream. After that, we started using our swimming pool, and everyone else has been baptized from there. Baptism is another area of great confusion in Uganda, because most churches teach that it is another step in salvation. So before every baptism, we make sure that every candidate understands why we baptize. Dennis is one of those people who got saved and got going for Jesus. After getting baptized, he fell in love with the Word and became a faithful soul winner. Even after his Muslim father started making him work on Sundays, he fought to be there every time he was able. His hunger for the Word is a challenge to us all.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also.
Once someone has trusted Christ, we try to get them active in going to church, and then we encourage them to be discipled. We have a class that consists of 18 lessons that teaches basic Bible doctrine and biblical living. An extension of the discipleship program is the Bible Institute, which we call Lighthouse Bible Institute. Our students include people from our church and pastors from the surrounding area. One of these pastors is Moisigwa Robert. Robert has been pastoring under the leadership of a prominent charismatic woman preacher. However, after years of watching all the deception and nonsense, he knew he needed to find a true church. Through a BIMI radio station in his hometown, he recognized the truth, and God led him to us. He was the first to join the Institute, became the top student, changed his church to a Baptist church, and will now be helping to teach Institute during my absence. His assistant pastor, Abedo Bosco, also started coming to the Institute and became grounded in the truth. He later married a girl from our former church in Mbali and is now pastoring our church in our absence. Please pray for Bosco that God will give him and Florence wisdom, encouragement, and protection in the ministry while we are gone. God has so far brought to us 7 such men who are either already pastors or are training to be pastors. Most of these men had not even read the whole Bible through when we met them, and a couple of them were not even saved. But God is working in their lives, and the effect is being seen in their churches. It is because of this growth in the Institute that we did our most recent building project, which added 2 rooms to our current permanent structure. One is for the pastor, and the other is a dorm for Institute students.
Another ministry we continue to be involved in is our Eastern Uganda Independent Baptist Fellowship. 3 times a year, Matt meets with about 40 to 50 pastors and church workers from the southeastern region of Uganda. When we return, he plans to work with some of these men to implement a new pastor's training program that is called the Triannual Bible Institute, or TBI. TBI is a 3 times a year, week-long modular course developed by BIMI missionaries in order to give nationals the tools they need to start new churches by themselves. They have been doing this in the towns of Embarada and Masaka now for 2 to 3 years with great results. Actually, across Uganda, we are seeing an expansion of pastoral training in many different towns by BIMI missionaries and even national pastors. 7 different towns all have TBI or similar institutes, and when we return, we will add 2 more. Through these institutes, we believe we will see an explosion in church planting across Uganda in the next 10 years.
This expansion of new church plants has created a great need for materials to be translated into the local languages. I want to give these pastors much study material in both English and Luganda. Pray for God's provision in this need and for more people to come and help us in the work. Our Lord's plan was simple, but it works. Pray for us as we continue His work in Uganda, and pray that God will show you what part He wants you to play in the great work which is going on there. What would God have you to do?
Term, the goal is this. You know, we often think about, let's make sure when we go and start churches, let's make sure the churches become indigenous, and they're not only indigenous but independent. They're self-sustaining and continuing. I want us to go further. I want us not to stop with making the churches indigenous and self-sustaining and continuing. I want us to make these Bible institutes continuous, self-sustaining, self-teaching. And the fact is, these men are doing it. We've got men. And not just here in our town, but in other towns where we're seeing men who are stepping up, who are showing God has given them the gift of teaching, and they have the ability to teach at a higher level. And even this fellow, Robert, has the ability to teach, and God has gifted him in that area. And so I want to see these men get plugged in here, and so that if the day comes and we do get the boot out of the country, not only do the churches continue, but the training of pastors, future pastors, continues. And Lord willing, this thing can mushroom. Because again, it's not just happening in our town. It's happening in different towns. And we're just thanking God for what's going on. Make sure in the back afterwards, if you have any questions, there's a lot of things I would love to tell you. But if you have questions, please come to the back and make sure you get one of our cards. And they're there in the back. And please keep us in your prayers. If there's anything God has taught me through the years, it is the need and necessity of prayer. And so please be a part of that. And consider for yourself, what would God have you to do? And I don't know how God's been working in people here in this church, how God's been directing your life. But God's never done calling people to His work. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Or maybe are you sitting back and just kind of saying, well, I'm just not sure I can do that. I'm not like the missionary. This up there. You got to remember, this missionary was one time where you were. Right? I mean, if anyone can grow up in the home with Michael and Jonathan and come out sane like I did and go to Africa, you can't. Anyway. if Andy Inspi is watching, that was for you. Anyway. But seriously though. What does God want you to do? Are you doing it? And there are places where, especially in training these men, where you can say, you know what, I believe God has called me to do this. I want to go over it, and I want to be a part of training national pastors. And not just the pastors, but just the people in the church, giving them that Bible Institute training so that they can serve God in a good way and faithfully in their churches. So just consider, what would God have you to do? Matthew chapter 28 tonight. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. In Uganda, when you're pointing somewhere, if you want to point out something, you say, hey, and you see that over, you see that over there? Now here in America, we point with our finger, see that over there, see that trombone over there? In Uganda, you point with your lower lip. See that trombone over there? That one right there. If you want someone to come, come to you, and here you do this, come over. In Uganda, you do this. Come on over. Hey, come here. And now, it's fine when you do it over there, but it's not a good thing when you get over here and you're doing that. I'll be holding something. It's like you're carrying something. Hey, son, could you get that over there? They're both laughing at me. Like, Dad, you're doing it again. This is embarrassing. So, or I was on a plane when we were 4 years in Uganda. Come on, almost 4 years since we've been back. And we were on our last flight getting to Denver. And I needed something, and I was going to get some water or something from the stewardess. And I reached my hand up, and I just about did that. And I caught myself, and I'm thinking, wait. And I honestly had to think, man, what do you do here in the States? And but I caught myself, and then I was like, oh, man, I better not do that. She's going to think I'm hitting on her. And it's a little interesting when you come back and you realize, wow, we've been doing things a little differently for a while. Tonight's message is not going to be anything new. Am I on here? Tonight's message is not going to be anything new. My phone should be on now. Okay. But what God has placed on my heart and continues to place on my heart every time I come home, it's this. Strengthen my people. Strengthen my churches. Because, sure, we want people to go out for mission and be missionaries. And our desire, our cry when we come back is, hey, we do need more missionaries. The work is still great. And at the same time, we're working to train national so they can take over our work. But the fact is, there are still many places where we need more that needs to be done. But the fact is this. If we're busy sending out missionaries, and we got missionaries going out doing the work, but the local church is not weak and not able to sustain what is being sent out, then even eventually what gets sent out gets brought back in. My desire is to see our churches be strengthened. And I know no better way to strengthen this church than by simply going back to what the plan was of our Lord and say, hey, are you doing it? Let's take a look at that here tonight. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Amen. Father, I pray you would guide what I'm about to say. Help me not to say what is unnecessary, but help me to speak each word which is needful to your purpose here tonight. And I pray that this church would not only continue to be a church which supports missions, but that they would be a church which would go forward and excel in this work. The Father, help them to understand in order to excel abroad, they must excel at home. And so I pray that you would do your work here tonight. May your spirit have freedom. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're all familiar with this passage here. If you've been in church for any amount of time, you're familiar. This passage, we call it the what? The Great Commission. The Great Commandment of our Lord. This commandment is so great, it's to this extent. If we go to Uganda, or we go anywhere in the world, and let's say we start orphanages, and we start schools, we start hospitals, and do a lot of great stuff, and those are great things. But if we're doing those things, and we excel in doing them well, but we fail to do this, then we have failed miserably our Lord's desire. And we've failed miserably the people we have gone to serve. Because the greatest way in which we are able to serve them, we have not even touched it. However, on the other side of things, if let's say we don't do these other things, and there's nothing wrong with doing them, but let's say we don't do these other things, hospitals, schools, orphanages, all these other things, okay? If we maybe don't do these things, but we excel in this work, then we have done a work that is going to be greatly beneficial to those people and greatly honoring to our God. And so let's be sure that we are excelling in the work in which He has called us to do. Three things He's told us here to do. He said, I want you to go, I want you to evangelize the lost. He said, I want you to baptize them and I want you to disciple them. Three things He said I want you to do. And by the way, if you cut out one of those, you have failed in the Great Commission. Before He ever came to that point, though, where He actually told us what He wants us to do, He said, I got the right to tell you what to do. Look what He says here in verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's a strong verse. The word power here is the word for authority. A word where He says, look, I've got the right to tell you what to do. I'm not just someone coming along saying, you know what, I got a good idea. And I think if you work this, I think you could do something. Well, it's not like that. It's kind of like, you know, in the van, sometimes when we're traveling, there can sometimes be power struggles. Anybody ever been there with me? With the kids? Okay. You learn a couple things. Number one, you learn how quickly kids can trash a van.
I love you guys.
They're all looking at me. But you learn how quickly kids can trash a van. Number two, though, but you learn how, you know, how much the power struggle, how quickly that can come in the back. And eventually you're going to, you know, they're going to talk about this and the voices start getting rattly and they're getting excited and eventually the words come. You're not my boss. Back off, buddy. Okay. And why? Because frankly, no, they don't have the right to be bossing their brothers and sisters around. They don't have that authority. Here's the thing though. It's not like that here. This is not a disgruntled missionary who's come back and say, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing and I just wish you guys get your act together. Okay, no. This is our Lord who stepped up and He said, before He left, He said, listen, I'm going to tell you something to do and I've got the right to tell you to do it. And you will be held accountable for whether or not, watch this, whether or not you obeyed it and whether or not you obeyed it down to the T, what I told you to do. Look what He said. He said, number one, He said, go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations. Now immediately we're all understanding, what do all nations need to be taught? What is this thing that they need to learn? Of course, all people need to learn that there is a God. They will stand before Him one day. They need to know who He is and why they're separated from Him and how they can be reconciled to Him. In short, the gospel. Catch this now, though. In the Greek, the word here for teach is actually the word for disciple. He says, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples of all nations. Now watch how this impacts our soul winning. You see, when we go out and we soul win and when we're sharing the gospel with people, often I'm afraid sometimes we get the idea like our job is to make sure they get their fire insurance and at that point things are good and they're done. And we look at people like, boy, you know, we don't want these people to go to hell. We want to make sure they go to heaven. You know, and we're sharing the gospel with them. We're compelling them. Oh, you don't want to go to hell. You don't want, no, you don't, make sure you want to go to heaven. And that's good and that's great. And many people are going to heaven because somebody got up and preached a fiery sermon on hell. And praise God for that. Our Lord did that pretty good. Here's the thing, though. The focus in our soul winning should not be get them from hell to heaven. The focus from our soul winning is this. Get them from serving and worshiping the false god and being a disciple of that which is not true to being a disciple of that which is true. They spent their lives following something vain. Now, teach them what they need to know so their lives can be of effect, of profit here and of great joy here and there. You're taking someone who's wasted his life, has been worthless, and now it's got value. And you see, that's what we do when we share the gospel. When we go, and by the way, the Bible says, and again, very familiar verse, Matthew 16:15. Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature, right? Now watch this. You just kind of look at that and you're like, okay, yeah, we're sending out the missionaries. We got our missionaries, we're sending them out. And you're going into the world for us? Great, we got it done. Wait, hold on. Watch what it's saying. In the Greek, again, the idea it's bringing is this. As you go through this world, as you are going through this life, preach the gospel to every creature. That means as you go to work tomorrow, that means as you're near next to your neighbor, that means that when you're with family members, as you are moving through this life, the people you meet, and especially the people you get the opportunity to build relationships with, share the gospel with them. The greatest soul winning you're ever going to do is going to be those people who you build relationships with. I'm still all for going out, putting door hangers on doors, and just, you know, getting the word out, door knocking if we need, you know, and let's get the word out to the community. Hey, there's a church here. All right? But I'm telling you, the greatest soul winning you're going to, greatest effective soul winning you're going to have is with those who you have built relationships with. Because they see you day by day. And if your God is real to you, they'll see it. By the way, if He's fake, they'll see that too. And so our Lord here says, this is my command to you. Go and do it. My question for you is this. Are you doing that? Don't look at your pastor right now. Don't look at maybe staff, deacons, whatever. Are you doing it? When was the last time you sat down with someone and shared the gospel with them? When was the last time you opened your Bible and shared with someone about your God? By the way, let me mention something here. We often know well, like the Romans Road or something like that. And by the way, I teach my guys the Romans Road. It's a good starting point. Get them something to use so that when they want to share the gospel, they got something. But watch this. Do you realize we live in an age where people we talk to today, whether here or whether in Africa, but it's here now also, you got to talk to them about who is God. Can you sit down and can you explain to someone, hey man, this is my God. Can I tell you about Him? He's great. Are you doing it? When was the last time? When was the last time someone trusted Christ because of you? And again, I understand it's not our job to twist and try to work people for a decision. You work someone for a decision, that's your convert, not Christ's. But you see, yes, it's the Spirit's job, but here's the thing. If you're doing it, there's going to be times where someone is going to finally, the Spirit's working through that, and someone's going to get saved because of you. So the question is this, when's the last time someone trusted Christ because of you? Are you doing it? He said, go therefore and teach all nations. Second, baptizing them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hey, it's a Baptist church. We know what baptism is about. We know it's not a part of salvation. We know it's not a part of all that. What is it? Public testimony of faith, of course. We're publicly identifying with God's people. We're giving a public testimony of what Christ already did for me in my heart through that Spirit baptism into His death, burial, and resurrection. Here's something else, though. Watch this. Remember, we're focusing on go and teach, go and make disciples. Watch this. That person trusts Christ. And then what do? You come alongside him. And you put your arm around. And you're saying, hey man, we're excited. We're so happy for you. You've trusted Christ. This is great. Now, let's start taking some next steps. Let's start learning how to walk with Christ. And you know what Jesus said? And you get to show them, in the Word. Hey, He said, I want you to make that public because what you were taught all your life is private. Jesus says should be public. And He says He wants you to begin by making it public by getting baptized. Now watch this. When someone gets up here and gets baptized, it's probably going to be their first time to actually make public what they did in private. And what better place to do it than in front of a group of people who are going to go nuts and say, hey man, that's great! And you're going to come alongside them and encourage them and build them up. And you know what? When they're out there and they're trying to share Christ with someone else, and that person's giving them a hard time, you know what they're going to remember? Hey, you know what? These people here love me. They love me. This is so important. You see, that's the beginning of you putting your arm around that person, and it's the beginning of a long journey, you and them. You helping young believers to grow. You helping them not, okay, great, we got them saved. Mark another one on the tablet. Let's go on to the next one. Let's get out of that garbage. Let's get biblical. Look, that's the beginning of a process where you're putting your arm around them and helping them grow. Now watch this. Here's the next part now. He says, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach them. To do what? To observe all things that I've commanded you. Now that's going to take some time. Our Lord taught us a lot. That's a big book, folks. And by the way, let me mention this. This is not a Lone Ranger assignment. All right? This is given to the local church. This is something that you do as you're putting your arm around that person. I mean, where are they getting baptized? In this assembly, in front of this assembly. Where is he to grow? Hey, you're going to put your arm around him. You might be at home with him and do different things. And he comes over to your home and you're building that friendship. But you know what? As he's growing in Christ, guess what? That's why you've got this man. He is leading you to help those ones to grow. But guess what? He can't get them all. You've got to bring them in. You've got to love them and put your arm around them and say, hey, you know what? You just got saved. You're baptized now. This is great. You know what now? It's time to grow. It's time to really get serious about knowing Christ and knowing what the Word of God is. We don't want to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Let's grow up. You know what our church has? Our pastor's got different things where he's teaching people and ways where we're training people. We got classes in our church. However you guys do it here. But you've got things where you can say, hey, you know what? I'll come and I'll sit with you there. And you know what? Hey, we can do this. And maybe he's got the assignment. He's teaching them. And he's teaching there. And you can then go home and maybe go through that with them or talk about it later. Say, hey, you know what? They taught that. Great. Let's talk about it now. And you get the opportunity to watch a new believer grow. And I'm telling you what, if you've never discipled someone, if you've never been alongside of someone and watching them grow and watching them and say, man, I didn't know the Bible said that, you've missed half of the Christian life. Now watch this. I want you to see how important this is. Let's say that we go to Uganda. And we just go out and we buy all a bunch of sound equipment. We buy trucks and to load it all in. We buy a big portable platform. And let's say we travel all over Uganda. We just go nuts. Week after week, we're going everywhere. And we're having evangelistic crusades. And all I'm doing is just going from town to town to town evangelizing. And let's say it's effective. Let's say we're seeing, boy, this week we saw 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, 200 people this week get saved. And boy, by the end of the year, let's say we have 10,000 people come to know Christ. That's great. And I'll tell you what, that makes for a great prayer letter, Pastor. get more money that way. No. Let's say we do it the second year, 20,000. Third year, 30,000. And we continue like that for 30 years until we see 300,000 people have come to Christ. That's awesome. The end of my ministry in Uganda, I come home and we can honestly say, praise God, 300,000 people have come to Christ. But I want you to see something. Uganda's population is over 30 million. At that point, we've not even touched 1% of the population. You know, and I thought about this and I'm thinking, man, it seems like our Lord's plan should be more effective than that. I'm going to tell you something, it is. I want you to see something. Go to the book of Acts. We're going to finish here. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up and he preached that great message on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that 3,000 Jews came to Christ. By the way, the early church, study your book of Acts, it was 100% Jewish. It was all Jewish. You know, later on, Gentiles came in, and now it's kind of switched around. Okay, mostly Gentile, very few Jews. Anyway, just kind of an interesting fact. Look at chapter 2, verse 41, though. The Bible says here, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now notice that. So these people got saved, they were baptized, and they were what? Added to the church. By the way, this church started with 120 people in chapter 1. Okay, when our Lord went back to heaven, this church was there, all organized, all assembled, ready to go. It just needed to be empowered. And our Lord said, you wait until the power comes. All right, it came. Now, on that day, 3,000 people get added to the church. Look at verse 47. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord," what? "Added to the church daily such as should be saved." Here we go. It's continuing. The people are continuing to do the work, and the Lord is continuing to add to the church daily. Who knows how many? I'm sure quite a bit, enough that the Scripture is recording it for us. So this is a substantial amount, I believe. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Acts 4, verse 4. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So again, they've heard the gospel, they believe, they get saved, and 5,000 again are what? Added to this church. Now how about that for church growth? By the way, this is happening in a matter of weeks. Months at the most. Possibly even days. But this church goes in just a short time from 120 to almost 10,000 people in this church. That'll put a little interesting part, you know, thing in your building plan. So, but watch this now. When people get saved, praise God, we're excited about it. That's addition, though. Our Lord's plan was not meant to stop with addition. Watch what it's supposed to do. In chapter 6, we have a different word now that's brought in here. Chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "And in those days, when the number of the what? Was multiplied." Yeah, not added. Look at verse 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples" what? Multiplied. Simple math. 1 plus 1 equals 2. You know, and you can keep adding that way. 10,000 plus 10,000 over 30 years, you're going to get 300,000 people. But I want you to see this. Disciples multiply. When you've got your arm around a person, or when you, well, first of all, when you just see people saved and you just kind of leave them and you're not putting your arm around them and building those relationships and helping them to grow, they just kind of, they're there and they might stay there. Most of the time they fall off the bandwagon, but some stay. But again, that's just simple addition. Here's God's plan. He says, look, I want you to put your arm around that person. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you inconvenience. Because they're going to be in your house and you're going to be checking on them and you're going to make sure they're in church and you're going to be sitting with them in church and you're going to be encouraging them. You're going to be like, okay, pastor's class is at this time and this class is at this time and you're going to be helping them grow. Hey, soul winning is at this time and you're encouraging and helping them. This is going to cost you. But if you're willing to put out the effort, it's going to multiply. Now I go slowly. Watch this. Let me give you a different scenario now. Let's say we go back to Uganda, and in the first year, we see only one person come to Christ. Just one. But in that year, I focus my time, just put my arm around this guy, helping him to grow, learning how to walk with Christ, learning how to share his faith with others. And just this guy grows, and he matures, as the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, as he is supposed to mature to become in the likeness of Christ. At the end of that year, we go out now, two of us, and we see one person each come to Christ, and we repeat the process one-on-one with these people, and we're doing this. Or maybe I'm doing the teaching, but he's helping me win them, and he's bringing them in, and we're just, but we're working together. All right, second year, we got four people. All right, 2 years on the mission field, and you only got four people. Missionary, what's wrong with you? Right? Okay? That's hard. Because we like fast growth, don't we? We get excited about that. Now watch this, though. We continue that. Third year, it's eight now. Why? Because it's not just me doing it, it's these guys. And I'm sure along the way, we'll see other people get saved. Fourth year, 16. By the way, it does work. Yes, you have people fall off the side, but it works. Right now in Uganda, in our church, I'd say we have about 10 people who are serious, who I would call serious disciples. In our Bible Institute, I have men who I'm training who are not even in our church, and these pastors who I'm training, they're serious. We have anywhere from 12 to 16 who I would say are serious disciples. It's a slow process. It's not glorious. It's tedious, but I want you to see what can happen as we continue and as you focus on helping these people grow and they help focus on helping other people grow. If this continues for 32 years, that's it. We will have made 10 billion disciples. Don't tell me we can't reach this world for Christ. The thing is, we have to do it His way. This is our Lord's plan. Will we do it His way? And my question for you is this. Are you doing it? When was the last time someone trusted Christ because of you? This is the Great Commission. When was the last time someone was baptized in this church because of your ministry in their life? When was the last time you put your arm around a young believer and you said, "Hey, let me help you grow. Let me help you learn what this whole church thing is about." And you came along and working again. I'm not talking this Lone Ranger business, but you're coming alongside and as you're following the pastor in this church, and you're saying, "Hey, let's do the work as God wants it to be done," and you're helping that one to grow. When was the last time you've done that, or have you ever done it? Are we going to do it? As we think about this, I want you to examine your heart right now. Let's pray, and I'm going to challenge you with this tonight. Father, I just pray that you would help your people tonight, not just to take this as a message, okay, it kind of convicted me, challenged me, but I pray they would do something with it here tonight. I pray your Spirit would guide, and that you would bless in this invitation. Right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, will you do this? I'm going to try to make it real simple here tonight. I'm not asking you, will you go out and get someone saved this week? You can't save anybody. Now, you can go out, though, and you can share the gospel and let God do His work. But I'm going to put it this way. I'm going to ask you for the next year to commit to pray and to pray by faith that God would do this through you. And here's what I mean by that. That you would pray, "God, give me someone this year who I can lead to Christ. And let me see this person get baptized. And let me see this person get discipled. I want to have that part in their life." And you pray for it, but then listen, here's the faith part. You then go out and look for this person. When you're out, you're giving out tracts and you're going looking for this person. And you're just going out looking for them. You might give a tract to the one who you think is the wrong one, but it's okay. You can never give a tract to the wrong person. But when they get saved then, and no matter how long, over the next year, you say, "God, give it to me. You commanded us to do this. let me do this. You said we are to do this, but I can't do it without your power. Work in the hearts of people and work in my heart that I would give of myself, not just to reach them for Christ, but to help them to grow in Christ, to be like Christ. And you would say tonight, I am willing to commit to this. I'm willing to give of myself, of my time, of my even money if I need to. But I'm going to pray for the next year that God would do this through me. And I want you to make that commitment here tonight. Now, don't commit to this if you're not serious. Don't play games with God. But if you're serious, say, you know what? God's spoken to my heart. And I want to commit before God tonight to pray with all of my might every day for the next year that God would do this work through me, to see someone saved, baptized, and discipled through me. It might cost you some late nights of prayer. I'm just laying it out there. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I'm committing to do that? Is there anyone like that here tonight? Don't look around, just privately where you are. Amen, I've seen some hands. Is there anyone else? You say, Brother Matt, by God's grace, I'm just going to pray and I'm committing to pray. This is the Great Commission. I'm simply committing to pray that God would help, that God would help me to be obedient to the Great Commission, that He would do that through me the next year. Amen. I see other hands. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? I'm going to pray and ask God to do this through me.